welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 category smart. This is Jesse Colhagen, and you're listening to the Life Note, Calling in the One, by Katherine Woodward Thomas, and summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. Our lives are a creative work in progress. Most of us live as though there were a future out there somewhere, and all we need to do to fulfill it is to live passively until we bump into it at some designated and preordained time. This is a fantasy, and a rather harmful one at that. If you're looking for the right person to spend your life with, Calling in the One is a great resource to help you reach your goal. Katherine Woodward Thomas, a licensed psychotherapist, has created a step-by-step 7-week program to help you tackle the obstacles in your way and prepare you to find the one. In this Life Note, we'll share several ways to move you along your path to finding love, including preparing for love, completing the past, clarifying your vision and intentions, putting yourself first, being happy along the way, and living love. The first big thought: prepare for love. To find love, get ready for it. Quote, one reason that so many of us do not have the love we are longing for is that we have not yet become the people we will need to be in order to attract and sustain that kind of love. End quote. In the first part of Calling in the One, the author, Katherine Woodward Thomas, helps us to get ready for love, in part by increasing our openness to it, and also by considering who we need to be to prepare for that special life partner. Quote, if you want to be ready to bring in the one, you must be willing to grow yourself beyond the person that you are today, because the person you are now is the person who has created the experience you have already had. End quote. So just how do we stop living our own personal version of Groundhog Day and grow in new ways to prepare for new love? First, we can become aware of our interconnectedness with others. If we can move beyond our me first kind of thinking, we can begin to foster that interconnectedness. Second, realize that it is okay to need others and give some thought to your specific needs. Perhaps you need to be valued, acknowledged, or to feel heard. If you walk around in a perpetual state of not needing anything from anyone, be careful what you wish for, because that's exactly what you could get in return. One more way to prepare for love is to make space for love. This could include physical space, for example, space in your closet, or it could also include freeing up space in your schedule. If you have 100 pairs of shoes in your closet but no room for his shoes once they appear, it might be time to clear some space. If you work 70 hours a week and go out with your friends every night, are you really creating space in your schedule for a new girlfriend? Creating space sends the message to the universe that there's now room in your life for something more. There are many more fantastic suggestions and practices in the book to explore, and it's set up in a way that you can treat Calling in the One as a project. In each section, there's a daily lesson and a daily practice. In fact, the subtitle of this book is 7 Weeks to Attract the Love of Your Life. Step by step, little by little, you can move forward on this goal. The next big thought: complete the past. Out with the old, in with the new. Quote, our lives are always in motion. As such, we will continually be asked to give up the life we have for the life we are creating. End quote. The second part of the book deals with the topic of completions and helps you to feel more complete with the past, especially past losses or wounds. When your thoughts and energy are stuck in the past, it's hard to bring in that fresh new energy for the right relationship to now come into your life. It's natural to avoid dealing with the past, because let's face it, who wants to deal with that pain? Yet, by not dealing with it, we remain stuck there. One practice the author suggests is to think back and make a list of several losses that you dealt with in the past. Then think about what gains or positive things happened as a result. Perhaps your boyfriend broke up with you, but then you got to go on an amazing solo vacation. Or maybe a painful rejection led you to improve something about yourself. Can you think of an example in your own life where pain led to something really positive? Go all out here. If you can reframe past losses into new possibilities, it might really help you to get unstuck. You will love that fresh, energetic feeling you have once you've tackled all that old baggage from the past and are ready to move on. Out with the old and in with the new. The next big thought: clarify your vision and intentions. Set your course. Quote, in order to manifest this vision, I realized that I was going to have to change who I knew myself to be. End quote. After moving beyond the past, it's time to tackle the future, where you develop clarity around your visions and intentions. As Lifebook members, the idea of creating a clear vision is no doubt familiar to you, and the author reinforces this in the book. Catherine shares the interesting insight that simply creating a love vision can cause us to begin to change. Quote, holding a vision always requires us to adjust ourselves in some way to accommodate that vision. It's a discipline to practice living our lives inside of a vision. End quote. In other words, having a vision about the one isn't just helping you to look for that right person. It's also about helping you to become the person you need to be in order to manifest that vision. In addition to clarifying your vision, it's also helpful to have a clear intention. Do you want to be in a relationship by a certain time frame or engaged within a year or two from now? It might seem strange to set a goal like that about a relationship that doesn't even exist yet, but once you do set a clear intention, you will likely start acting in certain ways that improve the likelihood of meeting your goal. By the way, you might need to muster up a bit of courage here. If you're feeling hesitant about setting a clear intention, is it because you're afraid of being disappointed about not reaching your goal? Try asking this question instead. What if I do achieve my goal? Now that is a much more useful and exciting question. The next big thought: put yourself first. Start from within. Quote, in order to engage in a healthy, loving dynamic with another person, you must be actively engaged in the process of discovering who you are at all times. That means that you must be willing to explore and admit your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors to yourself and others, even if you think they are unacceptable. End quote. The idea of practicing self-care is an important one when it comes to relationships. If you don't understand and address your own needs, it's going to be much more difficult for you to have a really healthy relationship with another. How can you prioritize self-care? When or in what circumstances do you compromise self-care? What do you absolutely need in a relationship? And what will you absolutely not settle for? These are all questions the author suggests that we ask of ourselves. Be clear with your boundaries and be willing to say no to what does not serve you. Saying no creates boundaries that serve as a container for love. What a brilliant visual. Rather than creating a wall between us, that boundaries are creating a container for love. The next big thought: life worth living. Be happy along the way. Quote, although we tend to believe that happiness exists as some sort of side benefit to having successfully mastered all the other particulars of our lives, nothing could be further from the truth. Call it the biggest lie of all time, which we've bought hook, line, and sinker. End quote. How can we live our lives with more happiness and allow love to take root? These are several questions that are explored as we move through the journey of calling in the one. The author shares a great quote by Abraham Hicks: you cannot have a happy ending to a miserable journey. With that in mind, let's consider some of those aspects to having an enjoyable journey towards love. Generosity is a key ingredient, and yet Catherine suggests that, quote, most of us are pretty stingy. In part, this comes from our own defensiveness and fears. Our most frequent response of reflexive defensiveness creates for us an emotional vacuum. When we hold back our love and light from others, we end up feeling starved for love ourselves. End quote. Think of generosity as a practice, a discipline, and you will be opening the door to love. Another way to increase happiness is to simply appreciate what you have now. Are you waiting to be happy until you're in a relationship? Do you think it's going to magically unlock the key to the door to happiness? You might want to rethink that premise if that's how you feel. As the author puts it, quote, creating happiness begins with accepting and surrendering to the life you have right now. As is, lonely and all, failed expectations and all, end quote. She advises us to think of joy as an unconditional experience, something not attached to particular circumstances. Are you putting your life on hold, waiting for something or someone before you can feel joy? How's that working out for you? the final big thought, living love. It's available right now. Quote, the forces of love are always available for us to dance with and cultivate. It's just that we're so concerned with the form that love takes that we miss the constant opportunities that come our way. We're trying to get love to look a certain way, the ring on the finger, the white picket fence, or whatever version of that you have for you. End quote. Catherine says, quote, since like attracts like, if one wants to attract in more love, then one needs to foster and nurture the opportunities that are present now. End quote. Let's consider a few ways that we can be more focused on those opportunities that are in front of us. One way is simply to be more proactive. Are you putting tremendous time and energy into your career, proactively driving your career goals forward, but then sitting back and wondering why love isn't knocking on your door? Why not leverage some of that drive and creativity for your love life as well? Another way is simply to be more open-minded and present. Keep the channels open for love. Are you so rigidly focused on a certain idea of your perfect guy or girl that you completely missed seeing the other wonderful partners all around you? Although it's important to have a clear vision, it's also helpful to realize that there might be other possibilities that you might not even be able to envision, better possibilities, in fact. Is it time to take the blinders off and start to look around a bit? Be willing to be more open-minded. Love is all around you, and we encourage you to get this book and really consider using it as the author designed, a 7-week, day-by-day program that beautifully and proactively positions you to call in that special someone into your life. You can find love, or you can find excuses why you can't find love. The choice is yours. So there we have it, Catherine Woodward Thomas's guide to preparing your entire life to call in the right partner. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.